coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's doing the Lord's work, one podcast at a time, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm Rob Cesternino, joined, as always, by Nicole Cesternino.
Hello.
Nicole, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah?
Pretty well.
Pretty pumped up tonight?
Pretty psyched.
Yeah, getting to this one a little late. It's about 10 on Thursday night.
Yep.
Big day today. Got to watch the NFL draft, one of my favorite days of the year.
Yes.
Had a little less juice than normal.
Why is that?
Because of the labor issues going on in the NFL. See, Survivor is good. That there's never a work stoppage on Survivor. You never have to worry that the survivors are going to go on strike.
Right.
And there would be no, you couldn't count on the Survivor Union to ever have any sort of solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There would, like, all the survivors would say they would have some sort of a solidarity, but, like, behind their back, they'd all go, like, to CBS. I'll come back for less money.
Yeah, I'll do it for less.
I'll do it for less. I don't care. I'm breaking from the union. I'll be a scab. In the NFL, that was not the problem. Although, in this case, it was the owners locked out the players, and they went to court, and it would look like they would cancel the season. But now it's looking like the players are going to win in court, and this is a whole nother podcast.
The NFL, they're such drama queens.
Yeah.
From the coaches to the players.
It was looking like, for a minute, that Grant and Steve and Gary Hogaboom and Jimmy Johnson,
they had the right idea.
They had the right idea, and maybe they might have had to come back and play this season in the NFL. But luckily, that was averted. The Jets drafted a young man named Muhammad Wilkerson.
Ooh.
So we'll see about him.
Okay.
Very excited. That being said, it's late for anybody else that we would talk to, so
everybody's sleeping or they're drunk.
There's no guests.
Yeah.
It's just us.
Yeah.
And I think it's good enough.
Well, it's Nicole Has a Podcast with special guest Rob Cesternino.
Oh, I don't know if I like that. Lots of stuff to get through, though. We had another wild episode of Survivor. We have a game around of what did Jeff Probst tweet this?
Yes, that is our game for today.
Yeah. What do we call that? We never come up with a good name for it.
It's called Did Jeff Probst Tweet This?
What has the Probst tweeted?
The Probst has spoken.
The Probst has tweeted?
Yeah.
Something like that.
We'll figure it out.
And also, we're going to have a little added bonus at the end. We put up a bunch of our videos from Pechanga during the reality rally. We filmed about, 10 or so interviews with reality stars and stuff like that. That's all up. If you haven't seen it, you can check out those Survivor video interviews.
Yes.
But there was one that there was a problem with the video. We talked to Marty, who we just talked to on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, but I thought we had a pretty interesting discussion with Marty. We got into
why
Marty thinks Boston Rob will win this season. We're going to tack that on at the end of the podcast.
Yes. And you guys had a bit of a debate.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. No spoilers, Nicole. So I'll tack that on at the end. So technically, there will be another person's voice heard on this podcast.
Yes, it's too bad that we don't get the video for that podcast, because Marty was showing his sweet dance moves in the video.
Yeah, a lot of people had sweet dance moves.
Well, they had dance moves.
Okay.
I don't know if they were sweet.
All right, so we always like try to cover the big Survivor stories that are happening.
Yes.
And a big story in the Survivor sphere this week was it was announced that Boston Rob is already planning to do his next show after this, and it's not going to be another run at a Survivor crown.
Just yet. Yes.
So, Nicole, what is the name of this program that Boston Rob is going to be involved with?
He is doing a show called Around the World in 80 Ways.
Around the World in 80 Ways. This is going to be on the History Channel.
Yes.
Now, the History Channel also has the show Top Shot, hosted by Colby.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm thinking, what is the History Channel show?
Does Probst have stock in the History Channel?
I don't know.
It's all of his lovers.
Well, now I'm saying to myself, what is the show that I can go to History Channel and say, hey, I've got the perfect show for you. Put it on the same night as Colby.
Uh-huh.
Put it on the same night as Boston Rob.
Yes.
What's my show for the History Channel?
Rob Has a Podcast.
Rob is not. That's not the kind of show.
Well, they'll just tape us.
Again, you don't know what happens on the History Channel, do you? Have you ever watched the History Channel?
Not one of the channels that are on my favorites.
This show would not be a fit for the History Channel.
It should be. It's history in the making.
It probably shouldn't be.
It's history in the making.
It's probably not. It's not history at all.
I think it is.
It's stuff that a week from now we're going to forget about.
Probably. You're probably right. I just forgot what we were talking about.
So, all right, let's hear about what Boston Rob's show is about.
Okay.
And maybe that will inspire me.
Okay, so basically, the premise of the show...
How do you know this?
How do I? Because I read.
Do you?
Or someone reads to me.
Or you skim?
I skim.
Okay.
Okay, so because I skim, this might not be completely accurate.
Okay. Astros.
But the premise of the show is that Boston Rob and his co-host will be traveling around the world.
Wait, who's the co-host?
Some guy named Anderson.
Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper, definitely. Asterisk.
Brady Anderson? Like,
yeah. Sure. So they'll be traveling around the world in 80 different ways, trying to find different forms of transportation to get to their location. So they will be traveling by blimp.
Ooh. Hey, we're in a blimp. It's really big. It's filled with all this helium.
It's a blimp.
I hope it's not going to go on like the Hindenburg.
Amber, can you see me from down there?
I can see the whole world. It looks like ants.
Okay.
What else is gonna go on?
Fighter jet.
Yeah, we're on a jet. I hate the Jets. Go Patriots.
Okay. Canoe.
I'm in a canoe.
Okay. They will be hitchhiking.
Hey, does anybody want to give me a ride? You know, I'm waiting here.
Here's my thumb.
Anybody going to Boston?
Yes.
Anybody going to Vegas?
They will also be building their own transportation.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And last but not least, they will be traveling by ostrich.
Really? Ostrich? Really?
Yes. Hey, I'm on an ostrich.
Yep, ostrich. Okay. That would be one of the... Really? Sounds like there's about 7 or 8 ways to get around the world. And then sounds about like 72 ways to fill time on this show.
Didn't CBS do a show like this?
No, there was... Around the World for Free.
Kind of similar.
A little bit of a different show.
Yeah, but similar.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So, well, good. Congratulations, Boston Rob.
It seems like it's going to be a great comedy.
Yeah. I actually wanted to tweet Boston Rob and congratulate him on his new gig.
But then he'd be sucking kneecaps.
Yeah, but then I got to hear, oh, so you're sucking kneecaps. Now it's kind of the point. I cannot say anything nice to anybody on Twitter or on this podcast. Or in person.
You just have to be a jerk all the time.
Yes. Otherwise, I'm in sucking kneecaps.
Yes.
But Boston Rob, if you're listening to this episode...
Congratulations. We're looking forward to it.
Congratulations, buddy.
Yeah.
And let me know how that ostrich riding is going.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think I'd rather see Philip ride an ostrich.
I bet he has.
Yeah. So, good stuff for Boston Rob.
Yes.
So we'll keep an eye out for that. Actually, I saw the Top Shot finale was the other day.
Okay.
And then I saw that on Twitter. So, Boston Rob, he follows Colby now, and Colby follows Boston Rob. But
well,
it seems like before that this show went down, I feel like they're obligated to be Twitter friends.
Uh-huh.
They're just Facebook or Twitter friends out of convenience.
Yes.
Not. I don't think Boston Rob really wanted to.
They're
be.
Scoping the competition.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So also, we had some changes going on with the actual podcast of Rob Has a Podcast.
Oh, we did.
That I'm sure some of you guys noticed. The people who are subscribed via iTunes, I'm sure had some weird stuff going on their iTunes.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed that some of the episodes of Rob Has a Podcast downloaded a second time over
yes.
the weekend. This was not me trying to cheat on iTunes.
Sure.
What happened was We moved the server over for the final time, and we've been in server limbo since around the time of the Sash podcast.
It's been a lot of drama with the server.
It's been a lot of drama. It's really boring. I had an unlimited hosting account, which turned out was not to be unlimited.
It was not unlimited.
Was not unlimited, and then yada, yada, yada. There was another server in the middle, and I think Rob, as a podcast, now has a long-term home in place.
Well, that's great. Everyone needs a home.
Everybody needs a home.
Yes.
And I think this hopefully will be the end of some of the problems that we've had.
Yeah.
Which are all good problems of too many people listening to the show.
Not a bad problem to have for Rod Pass
Podcast. Not a bad problem to have, but not exactly a cheap problem
to have.
It's
been an expensive problem.
Okay.
Yeah, so click the ads.
Yeah. Anyway, so what do you say, Nicole, for everybody who's now subscribed to the correct feed on iTunes and everybody listening on Rob Has a Podcast... Rob has a website.
Yes.
Actually goes to the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I tell you, I bought a new website this week.
Oh, yeah. It's so amazing.
Well, in addition to Rob has a website, I finally crossed one thing off my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
I now own the website joshhartnet. That's joshhart.net.
Do people even know who Josh Hartnett is anymore?
Josh Hartnett.
Okay, yeah. He was in Pearl Harbor. That was about it. I think he might be dead.
No, not dead. Has a website.
Yeah, he has a website.
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah. Dot net.
No, it's just pronounced Josh Hartnett. So, cross that one off my bucket list. I think I've wanted to do
you
that.
You have the most amazing bucket list.
I think I wanted to do that for about, since I ever heard who Josh Hartnett was.
Yeah, what's next on your bucket list?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me what your bucket list is?
Nope, it's private. All right, it's to do a podcast.
Okay.
Anyway, so big episode of Survivor. We spoke with Julie this morning.
Yeah, it was actually a very fun podcast.
So we had a nice chat with Julie. I had very low expectations going into talk with Julie.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to refer to her as the Julie that sucks.
Right. Rob is a big fan of Julie Berry.
I am a big fan of Julie Berry.
Yes.
That I had not really ever hung out with Julie Berry. I got to hang out with her a little bit at the reality rally.
Mm-hmm.
Although she's the Julie that doesn't suck.
Yep.
But this other Julie, Julie Wolf, that doesn't suck either.
Doesn't suck either.
Yeah.
So who is the Julie that sucks?
It's not the Chen bot.
Well, debatable.
So we talked to Julie this morning. I think that was the best exit interview we've had on Redemption
Island.
It
was definitely the most fun.
If you have not listened to that, I know myself I had low expectations,
yes.
But I think that was probably the most fun one of these exit interviews that we've had.
Well, that's the key to life. Go in with low expectations. You'll never get disappointed.
Yeah, it's how I wake up every day. If you wake up thinking every single day is going to be the worst day of your life.
Yeah. You'll either be pleasantly surprised or satisfied.
That's about what I expected. And that's how you should go into every one of these podcasts, too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in the comments. Talking about some of the things you guys had to say about the Benry podcast.
Should have went in with low expectations.
Anyway, so let's talk about this. So we had Julie was the person to be removed from Redemption Island, and we ended up having two people who were voted out this week. And you know what? Big thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Survivor,
Gracias.
For getting through. In fairness, really, since Elrod got voted out the second time, I could have done with a quadruple eviction episode.
Yeah, because we know who it's
going to be. Could we have not just gotten rid of Matt, Mike, Julie,
and Steve.
Steve and Ralph?
Yeah.
What would you call that? What's with five?
Quintuple
eviction yeah. episode.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
That would have been amazing.
It would have saved us a lot of time.
Could have saved us some time, but alas, we'll take what we can get. We did have two double boots along the way.
But what are we calling the person removed from exile, from Redemption Island? Because they're not removed. Like, the Black Swan was removed.
The Black Swan was...
Russell Swan.
I don't remember that part of the movie. I don't know. I feel like it would really bug me out if I was on Survivor and the episode where I got voted out was a double elimination episode. It would bug me out and it would bum me out.
Why? Because you're not getting your time to shine?
Not even time to shine, but time to tell my story.
Yeah. It's overshadowed by somebody else.
A little overshadowed.
Yeah. Wait, when Julie left, wasn't that the most pleasant exit?
when she left the game.
When she left Redemption Island.
Well, she didn't cry.
She had a great attitude about it. You know, she was just like, yeah, my house is in foreclosure, but we're just going to deal with it.
It's all about the power of Matt Elrod. Yeah. Apparently, he is the surfer Jesus. He is basically everybody he's touching or talking to.
Uh-huh.
Or vice versa. Everybody he's talking to is being touched.
Yeah. They're touched by an angel.
Touched by an Elrod.
Yeah.
And they talk to him and they hear his story about how he's the reluctant survivor.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't even want to be there.
Right.
But God's making him do it.
It's God's plan.
God's
his will.
It's all God's plan. Uh-huh. And I have to say, I'm not a religious man, but basically Matt Elrod has been the first thing in a long time that's like, you know what? Maybe there is a higher power.
Is he the survivor Jesus?
He might be.
Like, he has risen again. Like,
I don't think about religion very often, but I do have to say, the longer that Matt goes on in this game, I say, you know what?
He's the survivor Christ.
Well, Jesus was died, and we celebrated Easter the other day, and he did have his own sort of redemption island.
Uh-huh.
And he rose and came back into the game. Now, he didn't get crucified twice.
Well, maybe he's not going to get crucified again.
Well, Matt did get voted out twice. So that's...
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, like, Jesus didn't come back.
He got screwed over twice.
Jesus didn't, like, on Easter Sunday, Jesus didn't come back.
I don't know.
The Romans...
But that Bible, it's craziness goes on. Who knows what's true?
Boston Roman didn't capture Jesus again and then put him back up on the cross.
Yes. Unless it was omitted from the Bible.
The book of Rob. not this Rob.
No.
Anyway, so... But there is a redemption element to that.
Uh-huh.
But... I know. I want to see happy Matt again.
Well, he was happy when he won.
I don't want to see him depressed.
I don't like when he cries.
So, what did you think about the moment between Matt and Andrea, where he gave Andrea a dirty look? Now, is that very Christ-like to be giving Andrea dirty looks?
Matt's dirty look is not the equivalent to most dirty looks. Like, it was like the nicest dirty look you could have ever gotten.
He gives a nice dirty look.
Yes.
It hurt Andrea's feelings.
Well, she screwed him over.
Let's talk about Andrea.
Okay, let's talk.
Let's talk about Andrea. And you guys who have listened to this podcast from the get-go, from this season, you all know I have had a very warm spot in my heart for Andrea.
Yes.
I felt like all along she was going to be the one who was going to make us proud. She was the gamer.
She was gonna bring
I felt like she was my pick to win.
Yes.
From the beginning of the season.
Yes.
And I was feeling good about her. And then when she voted out Matt, I said, oh, this is good. She's a games, you know, she's got this intellect going on. She is doing things not because Boston Rob wants her to, but she's acting in her own best interest.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm starting to think that maybe it's not all there.
So in your opinion...
Yes.
Do you think that she should have gone with Matt and jumped over to the Zapatera tribe?
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I don't see a plan,
Andrea. Oh, no, I'm just asking, maybe would that have been a better
It would have been a plan.
Yes.
It would have shown that she's thinking a few moves ahead. And right now, I'm not seeing where she's...
Maybe she doesn't know she's six. Does she not know that?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Because, like, here's a lesson I learned in Survivor the hard way.
Yes, the Boston Rob way.
Yeah. And let me give some advice to people who have not yet played Survivor.
Okay.
If you don't know who the sucker is, to use a poker euphemism.
It's probably you.
It's probably you.
Uh-huh.
And in Andrea's case, maybe she thinks that Philip is the next person to get voted out at six. But, well, I don't know. Maybe everybody's just running a really good game on her and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, take it from somebody who knows.
Yeah.
If you're not dead sure on who the next person going home is, mm-hmm. and you're not, like, in the minority alliance.
Right.
That's not good. And I'm not liking how she's going to tribal council, talking about how this alliance is rock solid, and maybe that's for show. But then when she votes, she's like, Ometepe, yay.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that the survivors say when there's nobody else around.
That's a true tell of what's going on.
That's not them lying. That's not gamesmanship.
Yeah.
She's really, I'm like, Andrea.
That's true.
And it makes me feel like, I feel like even Ashley and Natalie feel like they're sort of in on a plan. Like their next step is, we're going to go to Boston. We're going to go to the end with Boston Rob. So right. You kind of understand why they're just blindly loyal to Boston Rob. Now, the truth is, Boston Rob seems to only want to take Natalie to the end.
Right.
So Ashley is getting some game run on her. But
although she's playing a little bit of a game also, because she's keeping things from Boston Rob.
Well, just that one thing that we saw with Rob.
Okay, but at least it was something.
But I just don't know what the next step is for Andrea. If let's say Andrea thinks that Philip is going to be the next person that gets voted out of the tribe, then what? What does she do? Then is she... So are the girls... She thinks the girls are all going to vote out Grant? Or does she think that maybe after Philip comes along that it's going to be 3 women and 2 men and that mm-hmm. the girls are going to vote out Grant and Rob and be an all-girls final three?
Yeah, I don't know. But in Jeff Probst's blog, or I guess an interview that he did with Dalton Ross this week... he had said in, like, the end of the article or the blog, whatever it was, that the blind sides will begin starting next week.
That's what Jeff Probst said?
That's what he said. The blind sides will begin.
Well, okay, yeah. And I'm telling you that the blind sides are going to be Andrea.
Uh-huh.
And then it's going to be Grant. And then it's going to be Ashley.
Right.
And then at some point, hopefully Matt comes back.
When is he coming back? When is Easter?
Well, I think he's not coming back until the final 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I don't think that's fair at
all. Well, here's what I think is crazy. That there's 6 people in the game and there's 4 people on Redemption Island. There's almost as many people on Redemption Island. Like, they should just, like, start the show again and then have the Redemption Island tribe have an immunity challenge with the regular team. And then whoever wins doesn't have to vote somebody out.
Yeah. You know, I had read something on one of the survivors, and I don't know if it was Israel or something, that they had Redemption Island. And
right.
When it got down to the finals, the guy who won Redemption Island was in, like, the final 2 or 3, and they didn't give him the money because they didn't feel as though he deserved it, because mm-hmm. he didn't play the game.
Right. Okay, well, you want to go there? I mean, I think we touched on this last week. We started
right.
talking about Matt's chances to win the game.
Right,
and I am now, here's where uh-huh. this comes into play. I think I'm about ready, if this is like the craps table. I don't even know if you can do this at the craps table.
But you can do anything at the craps table.
Here's this analogy. I'm about to take my, Andrea was my pick from the beginning of the
uh-huh.
season. I feel like I want to take my chips off of the Andrea space on the table. Take my shuffleboard disc.
You can't
if you will.
Do that. Nope. You can't do that. You picked Andrea. You're sticking with Andrea.
I want to move my money to Matt.
Nope. That doesn't. It does
can
not
I
work.
Can I take
that
it
way.
Off the 6 and put it on the 8?
Nope.
No.
No. You can't do that. Was your pick. You got to stick with your pick.
Who's your pick?
I picked Mike.
Oh well. Good luck with that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I threw the challenge, though. I didn't want anybody to think I was looking at spoilers again.
You threw it?
Yeah.
I really am starting to think that Matt, and I have to be real about this.
Okay.
A big part of...
We keep it 100.
I'm keeping it 100. A big part of why I'm feeling this way is the edit. It's not so much that I'm looking at it and I see the strategy. I just am feeling like Matt is getting this overwhelmingly positive edit
uh-huh.
that tells me... that there is more to his story and that, you know, we keep hitting on this theme of this is God's plan. And I really, really think Matt is going to come back into the game and not just come back into the game. I really feel like Matt is going to be in the finals and I
and
feel
gonna take it home.
Like that Matt is going to get all the Zapatero votes,
uh-huh.
maybe not David Murphy.
Uh-huh.
And then he's going to get the Andrea vote because she feels bad for
uh-huh.
him. And maybe, like, somebody, like, when Grant gets screwed over.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Grant. I got a lot to say about Grant,
yeah.
too. And, you know, a couple of the other people that Rob has to burn to get to the finals. I just am really, really feeling now that Elrod is going to win this game.
So Fabio, two seasons in a row.
And then it's quite the double-double when you take a look at the last two people to win this game. And it's Spicoli-looking surfer guys are now the new Stone Cold lock Survivor.
I don't think Elrod is going to get arrested for riding a skateboard on controlled substances.
I should hope not.
I don't think so. I don't think that's what God wants.
I should hope not.
Oh, and Elrod is also going to win the fan favorite.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Double.
I feel like if we're going to talk about the fan favorite, I really feel like Boston Rob has it locked up.
I don't think so. I think Elrod's going to get it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For a while, I thought Philip was going to get it.
Yeah, but now he took the crazy train.
Yeah, Philip.
And not in a racist way.
Yeah. But interesting. I never thought about Elrod for the fan favorite.
Yes.
Interesting. And he's got like he's basically the Tim Tebow of Survivor at this point.
Oh,
and
totally.
You have no idea who that is. But I think that's a fair analogy. And Tim Tebow, it's not History Channel. And Tim Tebow was a college football player, but he was very outspoken about his religious beliefs.
Oh, okay.
And even though he was not, many people did not, he's just a really strong character.
Uh-huh.
Like he has a very very good work ethic.
Right.
But he does not have all of these skills that a lot of the elite talent may have in the NFL.
Right.
And so he was drafted by this team, the Denver Broncos, and he has one of the highest selling jerseys. People are just I don't mean to say it in a bad way, but just crazy about Tim Tebow.
Because God endorses his jersey?
I think that he has been very outspoken. Like, people who share his beliefs are huge Tim Tebow fans. And even though he's not a star by any means in the NFL, he has one of the highest selling jerseys in the NFL. Even though he's not a star and didn't even play until the end of last year.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's almost the Matt Elrod of the NFL.
I could see that, yeah.
You really, well, I appreciate you.
No, I can see that. Except I think that Matt, that Elrod is actually a star. He wins.
Yeah, well, Tim Tebow has done.
He didn't win like 9 immunities or Redemption Island duels
or national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you gonna do? He got there.
Yeah, God likes him.
God certainly does like him.
Yes.
So, I don't know, did we finish what I was going to say about Matt?
I think so. Let's talk about Philip and how he miraculously finds his shorts.
Okay. It seems like you have a little bit of a sarcastic tone to you. What are you implying, Nicole?
Like we all know Philip's no special agent. How could he find his shorts? So
he's exactly a special agent.
Sure he is. Sure he
very
is.
Very special.
Yes.
So are you saying, let's be honest, the thought had crossed my mind that maybe it was not a spirit from Philip's ancestors telling him where to look for his shorts.
The premonition was actually
perhaps
production.
Could someone from production have given Philip a hint as to where his shorts may have been?
Yes. Here's what I think went down.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I think production was so tired of looking at him in his pink panties. They said, listen, it's under the freaking rock over there. Just go get your shorts.
Mm-hmm.
We can't look at you anymore.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I actually think that Philip found them on his own.
Like, really?
Because we asked Julie this morning, and I asked her, and that's really where my line of question was going. I asked Julie, you know, how far away did you hide the shorts?
She's not going to say.
She would. What does she care?
I don't think she would say that production. She wasn't even there. How does she know?
But if she, like, really hid them well.
Uh-huh.
I believe she told him. It's not like she didn't even give him a clue.
Uh-huh.
Basically, Philip is to shorts as Russell Hantz is to Immunity Idols. And Philip.
Okay.
Philip can find shorts anywhere without clues.
He found one pair of shorts.
Okay. So, But I do feel like he had enough information that she didn't go very far. She said it's under a big rock. It probably wasn't that hard to find.
I guess so. But did you have some bittersweet feelings when he found the shorts?
Yeah, I kind of like, ah. Oh.
Yes.
It was fun when he
found the
shorts.
You kind of wanted to see him, like, be tortured a little bit. But even him being tortured is really us being tortured, having to see the pink package.
What did you think of Philip's movie quoting ability this week?
He's probably just as good as I am.
Probably. You can't stand the truth.
Yes, but even I knew that was incorrect.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the right quote?
You can't handle the truth.
That's right. Very good.
Ding. Light tap.
Not a very big Philip-centric episode this week.
And you know what? That's just what we needed.
Yeah.
We needed that.
Although I did think it wasn't right that Steve called Philip the N-word.
Nuts.
Nimrod.
I thought it was very appropriate.
And I think that, you know, Steve may just want to avoid all insults that start with the letter N.
But you know what? Steve was the bigger man. He went up to Philip, stuck his hand out and apologized. And then Philip says, I don't think that was real. I'm a special agent. I can sense it. It wasn't sincere.
Well, we did say, it was actually with Steve,
uh-huh,
going back to when Stephanie Valencia apologized to him and that whole thing. And Steve was like, well, I don't know if this is, you know, if this is sincere. And we did the whole thing, like, if you are the next person to go home,
uh-huh,
and you are apologizing to somebody, that person should probably know the apology is not sincere. So in fairness to Philip, by that same logic.
Okay, but it wasn't
like
in
the shoe was on the other foot back then with Steve. When he was ready to vote Stephanie out, she was apologizing to him, and he wasn't sure if he was going to accept her apology. Now he's about to be voted out and apologizing to Philip.
I think it's slightly different.
How is it different?
This is based on racism.
So you're saying that Stephanie wasn't sincere, but Steve was sincere?
I think Andrea said it best. Where this was more on a human level, not a game level, like Stephanie.
Okay. Well, I if I was Philip, I don't know if I would take Steve's apology as being sincere.
Okay, well, luckily you are not Philip.
I am not Rob.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah. What I want to know is, why did Philip block Stephen Fishback on Twitter?
Yeah, what happened? What's up with that?
I don't know.
So Stephen got Frank Clarked.
Well, it's a little different. And you know, I didn't put it in the comments. We should update the Frank Clark situation with,
yes,
Stephen at the end of the show. That's a teaser.
Mm. You're such a tease, Rob.
Yeah, but it seems like Stephen Fishback, and we have to get him on at some point to talk about, in addition to the Frank Clark fiasco.
Yes.
Philip Shepherd on Twitter blocked Stephen Fishback.
I didn't even know that Philip knows how to use the Twitter.
Apparently. Well, remember we played that clip of him with social media?
Oh.
Remember?
Yes, I remember.
Companies like law firms and CBS. And,
yeah. And CBS.
Oh.
And real estate.
And real estate companies.
Mm. And Julie Chen.
That's Julie Chen?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that from?
She works for CBS.
Yeah, I guess so. well done.
Light tap.
Light tap. All right, let's talk about the cake.
Yes.
Nicole, did that cake look good to you?
I'm not a big fan of chocolate cake.
Really? I didn't know that.
No, I'm not. I'd rather have ice cream cake.
Ice cream cake.
Yes.
All right, so the chocolate cake was not a big deal to Nicole.
No.
But it was the reward for the log rolling challenge, which, mm-hmm, I actually have a little bit of experience in. That it was a challenge that I did horribly in.
Who did you go against?
Butch.
And let me beat by Butch.
Well, let me tell you guys a secret about the log rolling challenge.
Yes.
And it'll make sense when you hear it. Really, the biggest part of the log rolling challenge is about 80%. Whoever weighs more tends to always win this thing.
So the girls are screwed.
The girls are screwed. And it really comes down to, it's whoever has the most body weight.
Uh-huh.
And then your inertia, one way or the other, pushes the other person. Like, if you're going, if you're trying to do your thing and the other person is trying to do their thing and the other person is heavier than you are,
yes,
like the thing is going to go in their direction they want it to.
Yes.
So I was even trying to pay attention to this last night. It seemed like almost every single time, the heavier person won.
Is Grant the heaviest person?
I would think so. I mean, he's tall.
Right.
So I think that just about every single one. And the biggest mismatch was Philip against poor Natalie.
I think it's a good thing that at this point, Philip did have his shorts.
Yeah.
We might have gotten an unwanted show.
Yeah, that might have been too much jostling yes. around. Thank goodness yes. Philip had his bathing suit.
Yes, that wouldn't have been the only secret package revealed in this episode.
That was well done.
Yes.
Okay, so Grant wins, and he gets to pick who gets to have the chocolate cake with him.
I love these kind of reward challenges where you have to pick somebody because it adds like a different element to the show.
Okay,
but they haven't had many of these.
Well, now let's take it back from when Grant has to go up against Rob in the challenge.
Right,
he knocks Rob into the water, and that's probably like, "I love you, Rob. I love you."
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Okay, so then he wins the challenge. And he, without hesitation,
takes Rob.
He goes, and I want to share this cake with Boston Rob.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people just feel like, okay, well, they're friends and whatever. They're an alliance. He's looking out for Boston Rob.
Wants to make sure he gets.
Yeah. Nothing on Survivor, at least people that are
good players,
or somewhat aware of their surroundings. Nothing is happening by accident.
Absolutely.
On Survivor.
Absolutely.
And so when Grant shares his chocolate cake with Boston Rob, it's almost like Grant is saying to Boston Rob, here's the cake, man. Don't screw me over.
Yes. You better remember this cake.
You better not forget.
You better remember this icing on your face.
That I gave you this cake.
Yes.
And this cake is a symbol of our bond. We are going to the end of the game.
Yes.
Like, if you screw me now, I'm going to be really pissed because I gave you cake.
Yes, I shared my chocolate cake with you.
And I could have shared this cake with somebody who wasn't going to screw me.
Uh-huh. Or someone that you were trying to gain more trust with.
And I do not feel good about Grant going forward. I think that Grant feels like him and Rob are going to be, like, in Grant's mind... him and Rob are basically JT and Steven.
Uh-huh.
In his mind.
Okay, yes, yes.
And that's that's not the case.
Yeah.
That's not how it's going to go down, because at no point in this game has Boston Rob said anything about wanting Grant to go to the end.
Grant is too much of a threat.
In fact, we've heard Boston Rob say he wants to take Natalie to the end.
And Philip.
And Ashley to the end, he said at one point.
Uh-huh.
And Philip to the end. But never Andrea and never Grant.
Right.
Grant is not on Boston Rob's radar.
Right.
And it became very appropriate at the Tribal Council last night, at the first part of the Tribal Council, that Steve mentioned, well, I saw Survivor one time and Boston Rob asked some guy to save Amber. Did he say Amber or his girlfriend?
I don't think he said Amber, but I don't remember.
And he screwed him over.
Right.
And it was almost like, it seemed like for a little bit they were just dancing around Lex. And then finally, even Boston Rob, or Probst. Sorry, Jeff Probst
he
brought up
it.
Lex. And so Boston Rob says, you know, they bring up Amber.
Right.
And Boston Rob says, you know, the one alliance I kept is the alliance I still have
to this day.
So, and everybody's like, yeah, maybe.
Is that a selling point or is that not a selling point? That he still has his alliance with Amber?
But I think Boston Rob was trying to say
he was trying to sell it.
I'm loyal to some people.
Yeah, the ones I'm sticking.
Yeah,
it to.
The one I you know, if you love something and you let it go, if it comes back to you, it'll last forever.
It's like a butterfly.
If not, it was never meant to be.
Yeah. yeah, that's exactly what he was saying.
Pretty much, but I think so. Boston Rob's like, no, you're all my Ambers. Somebody hears Lex, and Lex is actually not the right example. Lex would be if, basically, like, I would say in this scenario, Matt Elrod is the Lex in this scenario.
Yes. Elrod. So what is everybody else, like the Jenna Lewis?
Yeah, everybody. Well, we've covered this a few times on this podcast, but Grant is not the Lex, and I would be totally surprised if Grant had seen Survivor All-Stars. I would sincerely doubt that he did.
But I think Steve is the only one, and that's why Jeff Probst had to clarify what was going on.
And it seemed a little fuzzy.
Yes.
But Grant, you are Big Tom. You are going to get voted out at the same exact spot as Big Tom.
Yeah.
You're Big Tom. Mm-hmm. You get ready for fifth place, buddy. It's coming. You have no idea. It's coming. And then you're gonna be really pissed about this many years later, just like Big Tom.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually next, because now at this point, Boston Rob is gonna say, okay, listen, Grant is gonna win immunities. He could get on an immunity run. Let's just get him now before he has the chance.
I will say if Andrea wins immunity.
Uh-huh. Yes.
If Andrea wins immunity, it seems like the die is already cast to get rid of Andrea.
Uh-huh.
It would seem kooky to sort of switch that unless she wins the immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but I think it's Andrea's definitely next, and then Grant is after that.
Oh, I'm going to be really upset if it's just Andrea, Grant, Ashley, Philip. And then, you know,
well,
Natalie.
here's my scenario. Yeah. Here's how I think it's going to go down the rest of the
way. Okay.
So I think it's going to be Andrea next week, then Grant, and then at the final four, then somebody's going to come back from Redemption Island.
Right, right.
I think Matt is going to come back at that point.
And he's going to win immunity.
Matt wins immunity.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like, we got to vote somebody out. So they end up voting out
Ashley,
and,
okay.
And Matt is saying to, like, they can even tell Ashley, like, oh, it's you. And Matt can even say to Ashley, like, hey, me and you, let's vote against Boston Rob, but it's still 3-2.
Right.
So then it gets down to the final four. Final immunity, Elrod wins.
He wins again.
Okay? And now he's won, like, 15 challenges.
That's insane.
Not 15, but...
It's like 27.
It's not higher than 15.
It's 34!
No, you're going in the wrong direction.
52 challenges!
No, it's not right. It's not right.
35!
No. So, Matt wins again. He wins immunity again. And now, all of a sudden... it's Natalie that has to get voted out. She should have been in the final three. She was right there, but Boston Rob and Philip, then they take out.
Yeah.
How I thought of this is the Boston Rob Philip scenario. Is that at all the same as the Rob C. Matthew Von Ertfelder scenario?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's
very similar.
Boston Rob and Philip seems like that on steroids.
Yes, definitely amplified.
Like, Boston Rob is like, you know, 10 times more outwardly controlling of the game. Like,
so does this mean that Philip makes it to the end and not Boston Rob?
Well, it's not a final... if it was a final two scenario, you could certainly see the scenario where Rob and Philip and one other person are there, and Philip feels like, well... Both people would want to be up against me at the end. I don't even have to try.
I'm going to step down.
I'm not even going to try on this last challenge.
Yes.
So I could see Philip thinking that way in a final two.
Yeah.
But in a final three, that's sort of a moot point.
Yes. All right. I have a question. I'm going to switch things over a little bit.
All right.
So we had a very long discussions about the Survivor Hall of Fame. We've talked about it many, many times.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say it never happened. Okay. And now... The votes weren't voted, and we start over now.
Okay.
Does it change? Does Boston Rob move up? Does Russell move down? Like, how do you see it?
I saw this question a couple times. I think the same person might have asked it on the Facebook fan page and on the comment
section.
It's
a good question.
Okay, so if the Survivor Hall of Fame was now instead of back in December, at the end of the season... I think that Boston Rob, I mean, I think they vote, the way that they voted in, it was Parvati was the
number
voted
one.
In the first day, mm-hmm. and then Boston Rob, and then Russell,
and
or,
then Russell,
or I forget if it was Russell and then Boston Rob,
uh-huh.
and then Richard, and then Sandra.
Uh-huh.
So I really don't know how much it changes. I think
Russell goes down a few pegs.
Well, Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe the order might, I mean, I don't know if, the, if I like, I don't think that Russell would have not been included. Now, it's almost like, you know, in baseball, you have to be retired for 5 years before they talk about putting you in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So, like, they don't have people in the Hall of Fame that are still playing.
Right.
And because it makes them, you have conversations like this that right. are sort of awkward.
Right.
But I think that at this point, Boston Rob probably would have been the first person in instead of Parvati.
Even though Parvati had 114 days played in 3 seasons.
But you have to remember how they did the voting. It was a fan vote. Everybody is always with whatever they just saw.
That's true. That is so, very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think Rob would have been the first person voted in, and then probably Parvati.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe
Richard Hatch,
you put Richard, and then Russell's down a peg, or maybe even Sandra's above Russell. But I don't think, see, the problem with, if you want to say, oh, well, maybe Russell wouldn't be included on the list, there's nobody that came out of nowhere that you're going to put ahead of Russell.
Right.
Like, you're not going to say Fabio should be bump Russell out of the top five.
Depends there's who you
no,
ask.
There's no person to bump Russell out of the five.
Right.
So maybe he's...
He's just lower on the list.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that Boston Rob's gameplay is so massively impressive, or are the people he's playing with just not really that good?
Could it be a little column A, a little column B? Like, I do really respect, you know, how strong a game Boston Rob is playing, but I think that he could be playing too strong of a game, and I think that he, in the end, I think he's going to be done in by the same thing that Russell was done in by, where I feel like people will resent the fact that he had so much power throughout the game.
Yeah, Christina coined the term, you know, the Rob Zombies. I mean, is it really that impressive that he's getting the Rob Zombies to do what he wants when they're really not thinking for themselves?
Yeah. Let me put it this way. Like, the... It seems like the greatest form of manipulation is to just have every... Just to be controlling everybody and have everybody know that you are the person running the show.
Right. You got the buddy system.
Yes. The next level of manipulation is to be controlling what everybody is doing and not have them know that you're the one controlling what you are doing. And at the end of the day, that's the gold standard.
That's the winning recipe.
Of how you win Survivor.
Yeah.
Being the person who got everything to happen the way you wanted it and not have the other players blame you for what happened.
So is that the Hatch recipe?
I don't know necessarily. I would say maybe you could say...
Chris from Vanuatu?
Chris from... Did you even watch Survivor Vanuatu?
No, but wasn't he the one who also like he just let chaos happen?
No, I don't want to do an injustice to Chris, but he was the last person left. He was almost like a Danny, I feel like, where he was the last person left from his alliance, and things broke right with the alliance sort of.
So he wasn't the one that had the
himself.
Control.
And I have to be honest, my Survivor Vanuatu is a little rusty.
Yes, apparently mine is too.
But I feel like you could say, I think that Todd's a good example of this. I think that what you want to do is to be manipulative, but not just be dominating and controlling.
Right, where it's held against you.
Where people resent you for not letting them, for blaming you for losing the game.
I see.
I don't know.
No, it totally makes sense.
It sounds very complicated.
It sounds like our marriage.
What? I'm not abusive to you. I don't I don't tell you all the things that you can't do.
Oh, sure.
I don't make up a bunch of rules and tell you can't do things. Do I?
Oh, is that me then?
I don't know. Let's not think about this.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's move right... Moving right along. we started on the chocolate cake.
Yes.
How about after Grant won the chocolate cake... Did Ralph tell Grant that he would lick his neck for chocolate cake?
Yes, he did.
Now, why on earth would Grant want Ralph? A lot of questions. Let's start there. Why would Grant want Ralph to lick his neck?
Maybe some warmth from the sweater.
I guess so. Yeah, and if anybody, if any...
And then he, but then he follows it up like, and he says something like, well, not in a gay way or something like that. And then he says, that's all I have to offer.
I think he said, I'm not a gay person, I think something, is what he said.
And he said, that's all I have to offer.
That's all I have to offer. So, for chocolate cake, Ralph will lick your neck. And really, such a bizarre act.
It seems like people on Survivor will do anything for chocolate.
I guess so. And really, to lick somebody's neck who's been playing Survivor for 30 days and who just got out of the Fabio pee pool, no less.
The piss pool is back.
Really. If Ralph, if you only knew.
Let me lick Fabio's piss off your neck.
Not for anything. Might have been a cruel joke by the Survivor production crew to not supply a knife and fork to the survivors who have to eat a cake after they get out of this Fabio pee pool.
Poor Andrea is never going to live that picture down where there's just chocolate all over her face.
Yeah, and they really did like a slow motion cutaway of that.
It was like all in her teeth. The most unattractive picture ever. And I think on the previously on Survivor Facebook group, they wrote one girl, one cup.
Oh. That's not good.
It's funny.
That's not very good at all. What did you think of the immunity challenge? Like, it's almost like on Big Brother where they do we're going to do a whole week's worth of Big Brother in one night.
Mm-hmm.
Where we had basically the immunity challenge, really kind of a half-assed immunity challenge, but...
What, with the cards?
Yeah.
I'm really good at that one.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that's a lot easier when you're at home and not... having not eaten for 30 days.
No, I would still do really well.
No, I don't know.
I would win.
I don't think so.
I would win.
Not sure about that. but that being said, I was very happy to have Steve gotten rid of. Because it just would have been another week of nothing going on.
I would have liked to have seen something shaken up a little bit. But, you know, it wasn't going to happen. And we all knew it.
Yeah, I don't think so. What did you think of Steve... and his plan to try to get Boston Rob out to tell the girls, hey, we're going to vote out Boston Rob. Here's what pissed me off about this. That Andrea says, or I'm sorry, that Ashley says, oh, we would do it, but we would have to vote with Andrea, and we don't like her.
And we wouldn't do that.
We wouldn't do that. We don't like, we'd vote out Rob if we didn't have to vote with Andrea, because we don't like her. You're playing a game for $1 million. $1 million.
Yes. I don't think she realizes that she's playing, honestly.
Like, what is so bad about Andrea?
I don't think she has her eye on the prize. I don't think so at all.
We don't like her because she didn't have spa day with us. So yeah. We're not going to do what's best for us to try to win $1 million because we don't really care.
She didn't help me
for her
with my ingrown armpit hair, so F her.
Yeah, she's kind of bitchy, so I'd rather just screw her over than try to win $1 million.
Yeah. Ashley.
Not good.
Mm-mm.
This is not good.
And I had very high hopes for Ashley. I did like her in the beginning. She was my girl crush.
I believe wasn't she your pick to win?
It was her and Mike Chisel, yes. And she was my girl crush, sorry, but it's now moved on to Andrea.
Well, in fairness, she may... be lasting longer in the game than Andrea.
Yes, but I think Andrea is playing a little smarter, but it's not gonna work for her.
Could I just be flat out wrong about Andrea? And I don't mean wrong from the beginning. Like, is my assessment of her, could I just be way off on that? I hope I am wrong.
Your assessment of her being smart?
No, not my assessment of her having a lot of game. I felt really good about her in the beginning. But could I be wrong that maybe she does have game? I'm not willing to close the book yet.
It's possible. Something is going to happen. It could be the something we're expecting, or it could be, you know, something to mix it up.
You're really going out on a limb there. So something.
Basically, what I'm saying, something is going to
happen.
Something good.
It might be something that we expect, or it might be something that we don't expect.
Yes. Very insightful. Okay, light tap.
That kind of excellent analysis.
No, I feel like She can mix it up.
And full disclosure, Nicole does have a martini.
I have a wine glass of a martini.
Full disclosure.
No, what I'm saying is that I think that she still can do something to mix it up.
I hope so, but I'm not seeing it.
She can possibly go on an immunity run.
Well, that's possible. But whatever this plan is, she's keeping it pretty close to the vest.
Yeah, I know.
Keeping it pretty close to the vest here. And six people is tough.
Yeah.
Because six people, in a tribe of six people, and I have two experiences playing Survivor in a group of six people.
Uh-huh.
One was good and one was bad.
Uh-huh.
And both times, it's sort of like you need four people out of six, which is sort of like a weird number.
Because you need four out of six to win.
To vote somebody out.
Right.
Which is a big proportion compared to the number of people in the group out of six.
Right.
And in Survivor the Amazon, this was the three men wanted to vote one way.
Right.
Jenna and Heidi wanted to vote the other way. And Christy was that swing vote in the group of six.
Mm-hmm. And which cost her.
Which cost her. So it's tough to nail down this vote with six, because there's so many scenarios where you end up going back and forth on that 3-3 tie. It's tough to get four people on the same page sometimes.
Yeah, especially when you're the odd man out.
Yeah, after the merge, it's easier to shake things up when there's odd numbers of people left.
Mm-hmm.
And with six, that's a tough number to shake things up on.
Yes. I gotcha.
Okay. So we'll see what's next. But I think that Andrea is going to be joining Redemption Island next week.
She's going to be joining her boyfriend.
You think, well, that's going to be a showmance on Redemption Island.
Ooh.
That could be interesting.
If the shelters are rocking.
Yeah, what do you do? There's so many people there.
Like, can the two of you guys leave, please? you outsiders, Steve and Ralph.
Yeah, and it's all guys there, too.
Or Ralph, rub your sweater against us to keep us warm.
So, do you think that they're going to eliminate two people off of Redemption Island next week?
There's only 2 weeks left, right?
There's an episode this upcoming Wednesday, probably one more after that, and then the finale.
So there's three episodes left. We have six people left.
They said that there was going to be eight people start on the show for the finale. There's 10 people that are still in the mix right now. Out of only 18 people that started, right?
Still half the cast is here.
More than half the cast is still in the running for the money.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yep. It's pretty crazy. So then when the finale starts, there's going to be eight people left. So it sounds like they're going to kick one person off Redemption Island this week and one person off Redemption Island next week.
Uh-huh.
So that when the finale starts, sounds like there's going to be five people in the game and then three people on Redemption Island to start.
They said eight people were going to be there.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I like that.
A lot of people around.
Yeah.
Why do you think they keep so many people at Redemption Island? Is it because they feel like it would be boring if there was only one or two people there?
Well, they're waiting for it if Rob gets voted out.
I guess so. Well, I think at this point, if Rob was to be voted out of the season, I think they got their money's worth out of Boston Rob.
I don't think they want
to
take any chances,
I don't think they
though.
need to cover their you-know-what to try to keep Boston Rob in the game at this point in time. Like, if Boston Rob got voted out the first week, it would be a bust.
Right.
If Boston Rob got voted out in the 12th episode of the show, I think you got your money's worth on Boston Rob.
I don't think they ever think they got their money's worth of Boston Rob.
Maybe. Maybe, maybe not.
Yes.
All right. So, speaking of people who never can get their money's worth out of Boston Rob.
Uh-huh.
We're going to play a little bit of the Did Jeff Probst Tweet This game. So, I do not get to, while I enjoy the Jeff Probst live tweets.
Do you really?
I don't, honestly? I don't hate them.
Do you enjoy them?
I don't really read them.
Do you get giggles?
No, because I tend to, you know, I live on the West Coast,
uh-huh.
And I know he does an East Coast and a West Coast version. I don't watch Survivor live.
Right.
With the rare exception of if I'm watching an East Coast feed,
uh-huh.
I am forced to watch it live because I can't TiVo
it. Well, fortunately,
I'm a DVR kind of guy.
Yes.
Well, love
fortunately for us, you didn't look at the live tweets.
So I have not seen any of Jeff Probst's tweets.
Okay.
So Nicole has prepared a list of some of these are going to be actual tweets that Jeff Probst tweeted
right.
on Wednesday night during the interactive living room.
Yes.
And you could follow Jeff Probst on Twitter at Jeff Probst.
Yes.
Which I don't like before the episode. They tell you to follow Jeff Probst on Twitter, but they show you clips from the episode you're about to watch. Show me clips from last week's show. I don't need to see how the immunity challenge is going to go ahead of time.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
So Nicole has done this. We were going to have, it's a best of seven.
Yes.
So if Nicole stumps me, what happens tonight?
Are we allowed to say on the podcast?
Let me.
We made an agreement earlier.
Okay, so if Nicole does not stump me, uh-huh. if I get four out of the seven correct,
uh-huh.
then
we're going right to bed.
Yes, then we're gonna tell the other. I get to tell the other two guys from Redemption Island to go and take a walk for a
few
minutes.
If the shelters are rocking,
right, and then if. Nicole has stumps me,
uh-huh.
four out of seven.
This shelter won't be a rockin'.
Yeah, then it's just lights out. I could sit here and answer your comments on
he'll be taking your calls.
Yeah, I'll be... can catch up on some email then later on after the podcast.
Okay.
So, all right, here we go. So round one. Very high stakes.
Okay, yes.
High stakes. Okay, so let's see. I feel good about this because I don't think Nicole can stump me.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll see. And I think I have a good ear for... what things Jeff Probst would say, and I think I have a good ear for things Nicole would write to try to trick me.
Okay, I need the bells.
Okay. So here we go. Here's the bell.
Rob's podcast bell. Where's the taboo buzzer?
The taboo buzzer is behind the TV. Can you reach it there without spilling your wine? Or wine glass of martini?
I'll just make my sound effects.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Round one.
Tweet number one. Imagine for a moment 1 month of living in this world. What were you doing a month ago?
Hmm.
Jeff Probst or not Jeff Probst?
Well, that seems pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Nicole is not that deep. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to say for round one that was Jeff Probst.
Oh, I hope no one got into an accident on that one.
Yeah, please, please. Ben Jules, if you're driving, pull over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tweet number two.
Okay, so that's 1-0.
1-0.
Feeling good. Okay. I only have to get three out of the next six.
Okay. Tweet number two.
Right.
I took real pleasure reading these votes for Ralph. That'll teach him to vote against Rob and Russell.
I think that was a Nicole vote. I don't think that Jeff Probst would say that. Okay.
Oh, another accident. Okay.
I think you may need a lighter tap.
Light tap.
So 2-0.
Okay.
I'm on the verge of this. What if I get if it's a sweep?
Ooh.
If that's
we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
It is so easy when you sit at home to talk shit about people in this game.
Did Jeff Probst
tweet that?
Hmm.
It's so easy. When you sit at home to talk S about people in this game.
That's pretty out there, but I don't think so out there that's something fake that you would make up.
Uh-huh.
So I would say that I think that Jeff Probst did say that. I don't think you would make up a fake one that had an obscenity in it.
Okay.
So that's 3-0.
Okay, fine.
I basically have to get... one of the next, even if I get this right, we should just keep going and
we'll
see if I get
going.
All seven
we'll do them
right.
All. Okay.
Okay.
Tweet number four.
Right.
To be fair, Natalie was only 6 months old when Lex was on. I had to bring it up.
While that is funny, I'm going to say that I think that Jeff Probst did not say that. I think that Nicole made that up. Yes. I don't think that according to Jeff Probst, he's feuding with Lex. And I don't think he would talk about him on Twitter.
This shelter will be a rockin' later.
Okay. Oh, that's I already won. I'm like the Ometepe.
Okay, but now if you get it, all of them right, you get the bonus.
Double or nothing?
You get the bonus.
Well, and I can't lose now. I'm already in the winner's circle.
You're in the winner's circle.
Okay, great. Okay. All right, let's go.
No, let's double or nothing.
Double or nothing. I don't know what that means.
Don't worry, it's worth your while.
double or nothing. So
number five.
So now I have to get them all right?
Now you have to get them all right.
That's a lot of pressure.
Okay. Tweet number five.
Okay. Again, you're getting a little loosey-goosey with the pen very close to my face.
Okay, well, you always spit on me, so this is my thing.
Spit wipes off.
So this
eye's not going to grow back.
You could get a transplant. Okay, anyway. Tweet number five.
My health insurance isn't that good.
Tweet number five. Okay, let's do it. I got my full fat chicken salad.
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm excited.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let's do it. I got my full fat chicken salad from my favorite website.
Now, come on. Jeff Probst is not ordering salads from DanielleDiLorenzo.com.
Oh, maybe he does. Maybe.
That is definitely not Jeff Probst. Full fat chicken salad.
I just snorted.
Yeah. This is funny. It's funny.
Yes. Okay. Tweet number six.
Right.
Any thoughts on what's... Oh, wait, no, that's... Scratch that.
Okay, that's not real?
That was a tweet that I crossed out.
Okay.
Okay, tweet number six. I gotta say, I continue to be amazed at how harsh you people are.
I would say that's so neither here nor there. I can't imagine that's something that you made up. So I would say that is Jeff Probst.
It was because of my Probst impression, right?
No, it just wasn't even a... It was so innocuous that it wouldn't be something that you would make up.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
Sorry I'm late. Baskin-Robbins had 31-cent ice cream. You'd be amazed at how many scoops my new contract buys.
this is a tough one because I know that Nicole loves Baskin-Robbins. But it seems so obscure that I feel like that's not necessarily where Nicole's head would go. He did get a new contract. I'm going to say that I feel like this was Jeff Probst.
Final answer. You know, it's double or nothing.
Final answer. I feel like that was Jeff Probst.
This room won't be a rocket.
Oh, come on. 6 out of 7.
No. Oh, and I got to say that.
And how do I know you're not lying?
I will show you the evidence because a lot of these tweets that were not Jeff Probst were from not Jeff Probst on Twitter.
Oh, well, so you're cheating.
I'm not tweeting. The game was, is this Jeff Probst or not Jeff Probst?
Okay.
So there you go.
But
not all of them.
I didn't know that not Jeff Probst was going to be the Twitter account at not Jeff Probst.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it matters because my thinking of, is this something that Nicole Cesternino is capable of making up?
Okay, but these were things that caught my eye, so...
So I think that if you're using... You stole somebody else's work.
I did not steal. I was on loan. I returned it back when I gave him credit.
I think the game was, as we said in the beginning.
This is my game. I make up the rules.
Is this something that Nicole...
No. It was not. Is this Jeff Probst or at Nicole Love Shoes?
We'll let the judges determine that. That was shady.
No, it wasn't. But not all of them were...
Right. The ones that you made up, I could tell that you made them up. The one that you stole from somebody who's pretending to be Jeff
Probst. No, there were a few that were stolen, and there were a few that were made up.
Okay. We'll have to check the records after this.
Yeah, so, but if you want lots of laughs, follow not Jeff Probst.
Okay, good stuff.
Yes.
All right, so was there anything else from the episode that we didn't get into? I feel like we...
Who cares?
I don't know if you're giving people a good reason to listen to this podcast when you're saying the subject matter we're talking about, who cares?
No, I think we should get into the comments.
All right, so let's talk about the 10.
Yes.
Here we go. So these are the 10 best... or funniest or most interesting comments that you guys give us every week on the show. So I'm just going to go ahead and pull this up. Sometimes I print them out for Nicole, and it was late tonight, and this was several pages, so I didn't.
So I'm not going to read.
So we'll give Nicole the ones that are shorter.
Yes.
That's usually how we get it.
Because I'm illiterate.
Not illiterate.
I just can't read little words.
Big words.
No, I can't read the little fonts.
Okay. Or big words.
Or big words.
All right, so here's the thing that you guys had to say. As always, robhasawebsite.com.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate your comments. You guys comment all week. We read all the comments. I was getting some flack yesterday from somebody who basically said it was effed up that I don't respond to all of his comments.
Who said that?
I'm not going to drop a dime on somebody.
You're scared.
But didn't appreciate it. I'm reading all the comments.
Rob does read every single comment, and he tries to reply to most.
Read every single comment. Sometimes we have shows where we get over 100 comments. At some point, I have to do some work.
Yes, he does have a full-time job.
At some point during the week, I do have some work that has to be done.
Yeah.
That does not involve podcasting.
Right.
So this is the part of the show where we address the comments. And as always, you know, once in a while, I'll pop in and write some comments back to you where I see fit.
Right.
So, as always, we like to start off with, you know, some people like the show, some people don't like the show. So, our last podcast with Benry, Johnny Stead says, 87, Johnny Stead 87 says, for the record, I actually enjoyed the Benry podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Initially, when I saw that he would be an upcoming guest, I was slightly disappointed, especially coming after the poverty high of last week.
That's true.
He wasn't a huge character last season. I didn't think he would be very entertaining. But he ended up delivering all the things I like so much about the guests on the show. Mm-hmm. For example, I enjoyed hearing him talk about his relationships with people on and off the island. Hearing about the ex-survivors visiting his bar was cool. Also, he didn't seem as restricted and filtered as some of the huge Survivor stars tend to be. He was very candid at talking about the people he likes and doesn't like, and definitely provided some funny things about Nayanka, Jan, and Fabio.
Yeah, he did give us some insight into...
That should probably be Jane. I don't think there was a Jan last season.
Well, he did give us some insight as to Kelly Purple being a jerk.
Yeah, and Johnny Stead also says, I say continue bringing people like Benry who rate high on the douche-o-meter. Can I get a light tap? There you go.
Light tap.
So he wants more douchey people on the show.
Who are the douchey people?
That's for the commenters to tell us.
Because
I think I may have somebody that may fit the bill in the hopper.
Who?
I'll tell you.
Can you whisper in my ear?
No, I'll tell you. Tell you the show. But if that's what you want,
we'll deliver it.
If you really want somebody douchey, I can make that happen.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, you guys tell
Bring
me.
On the douche.
And then Dave H. says...
Is this part of 10?
Yeah, it's a tie. What's with all the Benry hate? He seems like a really chill, funny guy, and I liked hearing from him. Survivor's not always talking about the big-name all-star players. It's cool to check in with the little people, too. Great podcast, Shake and Bake. I don't think we necessarily need to call Benry one of the little people.
Yeah, so is that kind of a shot at Benry? Like, you're just a little person.
There are no little survivors.
There's
only
little.
A little amazing racer.
And she is little.
Yes.
A little person.
All right. So those are the highlights. Let's check in with our buddy Matteo von Podfelder.
Uh-huh. I'm a little pissed at Matteo von Podfelder.
Why?
Fired me off of the Celebrity Apprentice podcast.
Oh, my God. Well, he was not happy about the Ben...
Speaking of douches.
Oh, he says, waking up today and finding out that Benry was the Survivor podcast guest reminded me of running downstairs on Christmas morning to open presents, only to find out that my parents got me sweaters and socks and toys I already had. Honestly, Rob and Nicole, terrible guest. The guy brings nothing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
He knows nothing about the Survivor. I like he's the Survivor. He was in 14 episodes of his season, and his only memorable moment was calling someone a dirt squirrel. Worst of all, he's kind of a pseudo-bohemian douchebag that every girl I like will end up falling for. Bad, bad man. Please do not even consider having him back to share his thoughts. Yes, I use the term loosely ever again. That seems a little unfair. Seems like maybe Matteo von Podfelder.
He is a tough critic, Matteo.
He's tough.
I think he's going to be on... like a suspension.
No need for a suspension.
Slightly suspended.
We haven't ever brought out the suspension on Rob Has a Podcast.
One more strike. One more strike, Matteo. You're suspended.
And also, we'll include this as a... Well, let's make this number 8.
Okay.
So, Nicole Fan.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Who's very one of the, lengthy.
One of the live tweeters. And we'll talk a little bit more about the live tweeters.
Oh, and everybody has to wish Nicole Fan a happy birthday on Saturday.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to after we read this comment. So Nicole Fan said, I honestly thought this was the worst Nicole has a podcast ever. I'm sorry. This was the worst Nicole has a podcast episode I've ever had the displeasure to have listened to. And I would have liked to blame most of that on the fact that you're covering the most uncomfortable episode of this terrible season.
Okay, not our fault.
The podcast started off weekly, focusing a lot of time on Philip. And then when Benry picked up the phone, it got progressively worse. Mm. Well, for your information, Nicole fan.
Okay, he's moving his head back and forth.
Benry called us. We didn't call him. So he picked up the phone to dial us.
Uh-huh.
We didn't dial out to Benry.
Nitpicker. I just said the N-word.
I really feel like the entire podcast was devoted to Philip. And much like this week's Survivor, focused very little on the person that got booted.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's true.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit.
Okay.
It's very hard to do a Survivor podcast, like last week's episode, that isn't all about Philip, when the episode of said Survivor is all about Philip.
It was the Philip show last week.
So I apologize to people who felt like the podcast was too much about Philip. But the show was only about Philip.
And the podcast is about the show.
So, I can podcast about whatever I want, technically, but if I'm doing a podcast about what happened on Survivor, I kind of have to stick to what happened on Survivor.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, Nicole fan, but we appreciate the live tweets.
I think...
Keep them coming. Have a happy birthday, but maybe, you know, switch to decaf a little bit. You're getting a little too wound up. Please.
Yeah.
And really, typical Nicole fan is what we have to say about that.
No, Nicole
typical,
fan...
You don't see Rob's fans bashing the show like this.
There are a few that do.
I don't see... None of the Rob fan live tweeters...
Do not talk bad about Nicole fan. Do not.
Typical.
Do not.
Typical Nicole fan.
No, Nicole fan is actually very funny.
And what else would you expect from a Nicole fan? Oh, I hate everything.
Oh, yes, Mr. I hate everything, too.
I am Mr. Positivity.
Okay, no, you go on more rants than I do.
Okay. Not about what's wrong with the podcast. Like, you're like the Nicole fans do.
Okay, whatever.
All right, here we go.
I'm not winning this.
Number seven. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
This is from John Hunt. This is Mike's brother.
Uh-huh.
I can attest personally that Nicole is right. There are a lot of stoners that listen to this podcast. I smoke every week for the Survivor episode and for the podcast. I'm not as high right now as Benry sounds on the podcast, though.
Oh, this is comment of the week. Double lights out.
Come on.
So is our podcast much more funny? High? Should we?
I don't know. I don't think we should advocate.
Should we go and hang
out with young listeners?
Should we
Nicole?
Hang out with Fabio before we podcast?
I don't know. Maybe.
Should we ride a skateboard?
Maybe Fabio would really enjoy this podcast if he listened to it.
Yes.
All right. So here we go. And I think this is something that we may have touched on earlier. Uh-huh. In the show. So what do we say? This is now
number seven.
No,
we skipped over number six.
Yes. Everett Hopfner says, here's a question you may wish to address in your Survivor discussion this week in the absence of a guest.
Uh-huh.
There seem to be two competing schools of thought about recent Survivor winners. One, that the game has fundamentally changed in that strategic players are no longer rewarded with the win. Rather, the focus is put on the so-called social game, and bitter juries are simply voting for the person that they like more to the detriment of the game. I would call this the Russell Hance, the game is flawed argument. Number two, Survivor in its basic construction comes down to a popularity contest at the end of the game. The fact that the so-called social game players have been winning more often lately than the strategic players is merely a coincidence. Juries have always voted for the player that they liked the most at the end of the game. Do you agree with one of these statements and have a different explanation? Well, I believe that I agree with... Well, what do you agree with, Nicole? Before I poison you with my opinion.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay. I would say that... I don't know if it's a little bit of both. I would say it's maybe 90-10, the second one.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do, it has more to do with there being a final three instead of a final two.
Absolutely.
Than the game being fundamentally different. I think if you had a final two every season, more often than not, the person who played the strategic game would win up against somebody who was not very strategic. And I don't have all the numbers in front of me. And
so, in Samoa,
okay,
if it was just Natalie White and Russell,
mm-hmm.
your theory would then say,
see,
then
I don't
Russell
know.
Would win.
I think that Russell is a little bit of a, like, somebody could be strategic and not be Russell. And
have
win the
a
game.
Little bit of social game.
Like, Russell is just so rough around the edges with the other people that,
he's
you know.
He's rough in the center, too.
Well, everybody that, or for the most part, all these people that play the game with Russell come away from the game.
Hating him.
Not necessarily enjoying their time with Russell.
Yes.
Not, that's not the hard and fast rule. But many of the people who play with Russell came away with not pleasant things to say about Russell.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that every strategic player who plays the game, like, you need to be charming to win the game. That's
you have to be Parvati.
That's part of it. Parvati is a great example.
Yes.
Parvati, when she was up against just Amanda in a final two, she won.
She smoked her.
If Parvati was up against just Russell in a final two,
would have smoked him too.
She probably would have won. But when there's that third option,
yeah,
it gives people the opportunity.
It gives them the third option.
It gives them a third option. And sometimes, you know, the person that we think as the viewer should have won doesn't always win. And I think there's less times in a final two where the person who you think should have won, like, I'm trying to think if there's a final two where the person who should have won didn't win.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people say during my season that Matt should have won, but Matt
really?
Should not have won.
No, but Matt should not have won.
Like, maybe to the viewer, the way the edit was, that they felt like Matt should have won and Jenna didn't come off the right way. Jenna should have beat Matt. Like, that is that was
oh,
that worked
that's
out.
Agreed.
That worked out the right way.
Yeah.
So if there's a final two, I'm not sure if anybody can give me the final two where it didn't work out the right way.
Yeah.
Maybe in the final three, that tends to happen.
Yeah.
So, I guess I feel like that was a good answer.
I think so.
Good job, Rob.
Lights out.
All right. Number five. Okay, so, our buddy...
Marty L. He's a funny guy.
Marty Loveland. He's gone ahead and done some of the great job of recapping. We have all of these great live tweeters.
Right.
That they're going ahead and they're listening to these podcasts.
Doing
a great job. You know, a couple of them, we were up to about like 10 or so people.
But now there's a ton of them.
There's more than are even on the list?
Yes, there's another one that just started.
Oh, you have a new live?
A new one.
Okay, you have an announcement?
It's the @FamFriendlyShow.
Oh,
and that calls us out when we're not being family friendly.
Okay, so wait, if that's a lie, I did see that I was being followed by the Fam Friendly Show. I had no idea that that was a live tweeter.
It is a live tweeter
of our podcast.
Really, just started on the live tweeting.
Yes. Okay, so given what does the Family Friendly Show have to say? Well, welcome. Maybe this should be the part of the show where we welcome a live tweeter.
Okay, welcome live tweeter to the family.
Yeah, Fam Friendly Show.
Fam Friendly Show says the one time I will 100% agree with Rob, lightly yelling at Nicole. How could you not know who Kel is?
Yeah, okay, well, we'll get to that, too. All right, so Marty Loveland, he says, Rob C., as we all know, Rob C. ends each week's podcast with the best comments from the listeners. Here are my votes for the favorite tweet so far from the live tweeters.
Okay.
So, and people, everybody loves @RobsPodcastBell.
He has a lot of followers.
Closing
he's
in
like
on 80. Closing in on 100 followers
all
for
right.
@RobsPodcastBell.
He's got more than me.
Good job. You're a good boy.
You're a good boy. I'm going to rub your belly.
People love you
I'm
on Twitter.
I'm rubbing your belly.
And for the record, that's also not me.
Yes.
I think people, like, sometimes @RobsPodcastBell talks to people, and I think people think that it's me.
Yes. I thought it was you.
It's not me.
Okay.
Okay, sure. So Rob's Podcast Bell says...
Here's the top tweet.
Yeah, here's some of his best tweets. They just kicked Reyes the dog out. You can guess what that means. #ding.
Yes. Oh, and Reyes the dog has a Twitter account.
Yes, although Rantstock has not been that active on Twitter.
Yes. Although slightly funny.
Yeah. So, when will the live tweeting end? at what point?
Never!
Do we get a say in if we don't like somebody that makes a live tweet?
Can we boot somebody out?
I guess so.
Well,
I guess at the end of the day, we can not put them on the list of live tweeters. I guess that's at the end of the authority that we would have on this matter.
Yes. Tweeting Nicole C. has two accounts. One of them is very inactive and about to get booted.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, of the same thread.
Uh-huh.
So Rob's podcast Belden said, "They're finally gone, and so is Reyes, the C-blocking dog. Hole Puncher and I are going to have a date night."
Ooh, dirty
Ding.
Boy.
So the Bell apparently has this very active sex life when we're not around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to scrub this thing down with Purell, apparently. In hopes of impressing at Poverty Shallow, Rob has a stapler, has been helping me with the half lotus forward bend. And also, honored and flattered to be People Magazine's sexiest Bell alive.
Round of applause.
Yeah. Reyes the dog also tweeted last week, "I was excited that today's Survivor podcast until I realized that the guest was Benry and not Benji."
Yeah. I wish the real Reyes the dog was that funny and less annoying.
Yeah. Real Reyes the dog is not actually that funny.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. Keep up the good work at Rob's podcast, Bell.
Uh-huh. I think we have a new job for, who's this, Marty L.
Marty Loveland.
Yeah, he has to keep up with this.
Yeah.
We don't have that kind of time.
It's very hard. We get so many, of the live tweets.
Uh-huh.
If you see some that are good, let us know.
Marty, will you accept this rose?
Okay. All right, so here we go. Let's go to number four. This is from Ray Shirey, who says, "Rob, have you ever heard of the Jim Rome's Smack Off? I think you should hold something like that for Rob has a podcast. Frank Clark, David Healy, some of the others who comment a lot. Best smack talk / observations by mixing in survivor takes with good-hearted insults and backhanded compliments wins. Judged by you and Nicole, of course. Winner gets the title of to be determined until the end of the next season. What do you think?"
Do we want to promote Smack Talk?
Well, I do love Jim Rome. I don't get to listen to him as
Jim
often
Rome is
as
burning.
Yes, well, he does have a TV show called that.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "What is up, clones? We are going to have the Smack Talk. we are going to have a Smack Off, and it is going to be rack me. I'm out." anyway, so something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yada yada yada.
Okay.
And then they're all a bunch of cretins, the people who call in the Jim Rome show, and they're all like, "Hey Jim, thanks for the vine, man. I want to go after Jerry in Denver, Jerry." Like, and they talk a lot of smack about each other.
As long as they're not, you guys aren't talking about us.
Here's my thing. Well, I don't. They can talk about us. I don't care.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about this. I like this idea. I just don't want to blatantly rip off Jim Rome.
Right. So we had to change it a little bit.
So if we are looking for an off-season podcast, I think this might be a great idea to do. And maybe it's not like live. Maybe we get like 2-minute clips from people and then they're...
They send us video of themselves?
Either a YouTube video that we just... But we're just going to play the audio.
Okay. Look at the video.
I guess we could post the YouTube video on there.
Okay.
Figure it out. But if this is something that you guys want to do... Well, I'm definitely open to this idea.
Okay.
All right. Number three. This is from Kaz Kozdrowski.
Kaz.
And he writes, "Proof that I'm addicted to Rob has a podcast. When you guys introduced David Murphy on the bootcast, I immediately thought, no, his name is David Healy." It took me a good...
His name is David Healy, and he has a boner.
It took me a good 2 to 3 minutes to figure out I was wrong, and then another 10 minutes to figure out where I even knew the name David Healy from. Congratulations, David Healy. You're famous. I give it 2 weeks before you're a popular search on the Akinator.
Am I on Akinator?
I don't think so.
I want to be on Akinator.
Do you know what this Akinator is?
It's an app on the Android.
It's basically a 20 questions.
I want to be on
it. And we were getting a lot of people on Rob Has a Podcast complaining that they were searching for me on the Akinator. Like, you think of something, and then the Akinator asks you questions. Is this person a man or a woman? Is this person black? Is this person wear pink underwear?
Is he crazy?
Yeah.
Not in a racist way.
So anyway, but now I'm in there.
Uh-huh.
And now I think that according to you guys who have been searching for this, I think I'm actually the most popular survivor on Akinator.
Congratulations, honey.
I think if you try to do me, like if you try to go through the thing and think of me, I actually tried it. And it was like,
you don't have an Android.
You can do it online.
Oh, okay.
You can do it on a website.
Ooh, okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. Is that interesting? Do you want to see it?
Right the second?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do we want to play it out?
Yeah.
All right. Let's try it. And let's make it not be me.
Okay.
Let's play, who's somebody else?
You want to make it Russell?
Okay. All right. Let's play that it's, let's try to do Russell Hance.
Okay.
And not me. Okay. So here we go.
Hello, okay. I'm Akinator.
So I just searched Akinator. It's us.akinator.com. It's okay. A fun game okay. that you can play, and it's
I'm having fun already.
That. Okay, oh, good. All right, let's click on a game to play. All right, think about a fictional
Why is it
character,
a genie?
And he's going to guess what it is. Sometimes we're going to type in a username.
Uh-huh.
My age is like 59, and I'm a man. Okay. All right. So has your character really existed? So Russell Hanson.
He exists.
And the choices are yes, probably, I don't know, probably not, or no.
Okay.
So has your person really existed? So yes, Russell Hanson has existed. Question two, is your character a woman? No.
Mm.
No, he's not.
He does shave his armpits.
Is your character black?
No.
No. Is your character currently more than 50 years old?
I don't think so.
No.
No, he's not.
Russell Hance is like...
He's like 35. Like,
yeah, he's like 5 years older than I am.
Yeah.
Is your character an actor?
Well, debatable. No.
But no. Is your character linked with sports?
The Houston Astros, baby.
No. Is your character a singer or does he work with a singer?
No.
No. Is your character famous? Ooh.
Probably partially.
Probably partially. Does your character come from the internet?
Doesn't derive from the internet.
No. Is your character a citizen of the United States?
I haven't seen his birth certificate.
Well, that's Donald Trump, but we think so.
Yes.
Is your character from a TV series?
Yes.
Is your character fat?
Yes.
No.
Partially, probably.
No, he's a... I would not say in the United States of America.
In his first season, he was fat.
I think you're really going to throw this
okay,
off.
Okay, probably, but not really.
Probably not. Not really. Does your character have children?
Yes.
Oh, this is where it's going to throw this off.
Why?
Because I don't have children.
Oh.
All right.
That you know of.
Yeah. So let's click yes.
Uh-huh.
This is question 14. Is your character linked with food?
No.
No. Is your character bald? Oh, okay. Yes.
Is he bald?
He's bald. Where's that? Why does he wear that fedora all the time?
Okay, so yes.
Does your character sometimes see ghosts? So not that we know of.
Probably.
I don't think so. Does your character have something to sell? Well,
oil.
We'll say no. Is your character linked with the law? Actually.
Well, actually, yes.
We'll say probably not. Not really. Is your character a TV show host? Well, not yet, but the History Channel could be calling at any moment.
Uh-huh.
Is your character from the TV show Survivor? Yes. I think of...
Oh.
Russell! Oh,
he got it!
Yes.
This is crazy!
Yes. No. All right, so that was amazing for
uh-huh.
you?
Uh-huh. That was crazy.
Okay, well, if you would have... Maybe if we would have picked somebody that... So you can go through this, and you can make it get to me somehow.
Oh, I want to be on the Akinator.
Okay, maybe someday you will.
That's my goal in life.
Okay. So apparently a lot of people play in the Akinator. Why is it called the Akinator? Has a lot of people thought of Clay Aiken? Or
well,
is it for Ryan Aiken?
Definitely for Ryan
Aiken. I wonder
Ryan
if you could get Ryan Aiken on the Akinator. All right, number two. This comes from Todd Gaines. And there's a lot to this. Todd Gaines says... I just listened to both podcasts back to back. Great as usual. And you're right. WTF is up with Nicole not knowing who Kel is. If I were you, I would bring that up at the divorce hearing. In fact, that would be the cause of the divorce right there. Also, I would love it if you got Frank and Steven on to verbally spar. That would make my day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in fairness, Frank and Steven have apparently buried the hatchet.
For now, but we all know Frank Clark.
For now. No, I think that we're going to go into a new era of Frank Clark and Stephen Fishback peace. Knock on wood. Not really. It'll make a bad sound for the podcast, but...
Yeah, I'm going to go with no.
Okay. So then Todd Gaines goes on to say, Mario Lanza talks about you not knowing who Kel is, and Todd Gaines elaborates further and says, exactly, Mario. It's just one of those things with marriage. You have to look at it from a rational perspective. You can't let silly things like emotions get in the way. There are certain trade-offs. You have to try and quantify the amount of utility you gain from being married to her, Nicole in this case. You must factor in her beauty, her knowledge of Survivor, coupled with her expected increase in Survivor knowledge, mm-hmm. her temperament, her sense of humor, along with frequency and quality of sexual relations, and last but not least, her ability and willingness to make pizza. Then you simply weigh that against expected decline in beauty, along with other areas where you expect a decline. Calculate for X, and you should know if marriage is a good idea. That is how a marriage works, or at least how it should work. F, I should write a book on this S. If the dude who has been divorced 3 times gets to write a bestseller about marriage, I don't know why I shouldn't get to. It's time to be called good to great. Why some marriages thrive while others suck. S.
So where does this leave me?
Well, apparently this really upset one of our friends.
Okay, but in Todd his little Gaines, equation, where does this leave me? I can make pizza.
I think it's a little late in the podcast to be trying to figure out equations.
I can make that though.
All right, and the number one comment of the week. It's actually this is a comment that I tend to get on average about once a day.
Yes. Maybe twice.
Basically, the comment is, and Ryan Sapia is the person who sends this one to me. It tends to be on my Facebook wall, and it tends to be a comment of like, oh my, OMG, this is so funny.
Yeah.
And it is always a link to the CBS.com season 8 page of Survivor, mm-hmm. where they have pictures of the cast of Survivor All-Stars.
Right.
And next to the Rob C., where there should be a picture of a very handsome podcast host.
Yes.
There is instead a second picture of Rob M. Now, it's not enough that Boston Rob gets to go on Survivor 4 times. He also gets to go on the Survivor All-Stars cast list twice.
Yes.
Now, amazingly, this does not bother me that much.
Okay, because you're a strong man.
This actually does not bother me that much, but... It is slightly annoying that somebody has to tell me about this every day. So the actual fact that it's happened doesn't actually bother me that much. But the fact that somebody has to post this on my Facebook wall every day has gotten a little annoying.
So in case you didn't get the memo, we know.
I know. And now here's why I'm okay with this.
Okay,
two things. Number one, if you were to visit the Survivor 6 cast page on CBS.com, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we know what's going on the Survivor 8 page.
Right.
You would see, and my internet connection is a little slow. Okay, so I'm bringing this up. And if you were to visit the Survivor 6 cast page and look at the pictures of the people from Survivor 6, you would see that...
Two of you!
Karma works itself out in the end,
uh-huh.
and that... There is not one, but two pictures
yes.
of Rob without a C.
Uh-huh.
And there is no pictures of
Roger
Sexton.
Uh-huh.
And
you don't really need one.
In that scenario, there's two Robs on the Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Two Boston Robs on the All-Stars. It all works out.
It all
the
equals
wash.
Out in the end.
Yes.
And not a very flattering picture of Shauna.
And I will also say the other thing where karmically this all works out is... If you Google Boston Rob.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead and type Boston Rob. This is like Akinator.
Okay.
If you Google Boston Rob, then you will see that several of the top results when you Google Boston Rob are going to come up as links to this website.
Oh, even better.
So that's even...
It's a win-win.
So two pictures of Boston Rob is fine. But we get plenty of people coming to this website who are Googling Boston Rob. So it all works out in the end.
Yes.
And
there are no winners. There are no losers.
This isn't the Celebrity Apprentice.
There's only losers on the Celebrity
Apprentice. Only losers. Anyway, so that feels like a Survivor podcast, Nicole. That was actually a lengthy podcast. I think this is the longest I've ever talked to you in one sitting in my life.
I know. I think I'm done for the week.
Yeah, good. I'll see you on Monday.
I'll see you next Thursday.
Actually, I believe we have a date.
We have a date?
Yes.
Ooh, are you taking me?
You'll see.
No, you lost.
No.
we won't be doing any talking.
Yeah. That being said, I think it's time to go. The next pod, maybe it'll be a podcast over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. I know Nicole's working over the weekend.
Yes.
But if I'm around.
Someone else is around.
Somebody else is around. There could be some podcasting over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. And maybe you can play the Jeff Probst game with someone else.
Maybe. Or the Akinator.
Oh, the Akinator.
And then we're going to do some Celebrity Apprentice podcast, and then
repeat.
Yeah, do it all again. But it's only like for another couple of weeks, and Survivor's going to be over, and Celebrity Apprentice is going to be over.
And then we get our life back.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's almost going to be time for Big Brother.
Oh my god.
The podcasting world never does not stop for no man.
We're busy little beavers.
Okay. Some more than others.
Yes.
So, until the next podcast,
got nothing for you.
Yeah, keep the comments and the tweets going, and
we'll follow us on Twitter. Interact. It's fun.
Yeah. And now stay tuned for our interview with Marty from the Reality Rally.
Rob Cesternino back at Pechanga, Eagles Nest. The club is jumping, Nicole.
Yes, this is Marty's jam.
This is Marty's jam. We're here with Marty Piombo, Survivor Nicaragua, first charity event of all time for you, Reality Rally. How does it feel?
It's always great to get to see a lot of the people that I used to watch that, you know, as a fan, you admire and you get to actually spend some time with, so that's great. And it's also for a great cause, and a cause that's backed by a fellow survivor, so doesn't get any better than that.
Anybody in particular you're excited to meet for the first time this weekend?
You know, for me it was a no-brainer. It was really Rob Cesternino and Nicole.
We've met before.
After all that, it's just, it all fell off, like, you know, really far.
It's the right answer, by the way. Right answer.
You know, I was very excited to see John Fincher. But in particular, I do mean that. I like him. And we speak Spanish, so, you know, there's a common bond. Who else? Eliza, I was happy to see. Very sad not to see Stephen Fish back here.
Well,
he is a security threat, apparently, though, and, you know, federal authorities had to take charge, and unfortunately, he's not here. And also, my fellow castmates, Sash, Holly, and Benry were here, and great to see them again.
Who do you not want to see tonight?
I would not want to see Jane here again, obviously. I think we're getting a theme on that. That's probably fairly...
Who votes for Jane tonight?
So what if you found out tomorrow your Reality Rally partner in a twist was Jane and Jimmy Johnson?
Jimmy Johnson, I'd be totally fine with. Jane, we'd have to take some form of action. Something would happen, and it wouldn't be good.
What about this season? We're getting down to the end here, about a month away from the finale. Do you think that Boston Rob is a stone-cold lock to win? Do you think he's coming up for his comeuppance soon?
I think at this point, if Rob asks them to go make a poison hemlock drink and have them all drink it, I mean, we're looking at the potential for like a Jonestown-style ending here. I believe that these people would do anything that he said. This whole buddy system thing is the most brilliant. But not only is it brilliant, the fact that people are actually doing it is... I have to believe in my mind that if anybody wants to win this game, why would you ever go with Boston Rob to the final? You will not win. And so people have to be thinking, what does that look like if it's not Boston Rob and me at the final? They have to. And I am still betting on Grant. I don't care what anybody says.
I want Grant to take it.
I think we saw a little glimpse this week. I don't know. I hate to overanalyze edits, but I will not be dictated to. I will not be told what to do. We saw the first little opening, and hopefully that blossoms. I don't know.
So what do you do? You're Marty. You're on a tribe with Boston Rob. He's bossing everybody around. How do you disrupt that without Rob saying, okay, you're the next to go?
If you're on the other tribe, I mean, and maybe this happened and it just got edited out, but I would just go ballistic and tribal and just tell these people, are you kidding me? There's six of you or however many are left. Only three are going to the final. What are you thinking? Someone's going to have to make a move. And you can either do it with the other folks, or you're going to have to do it with the other folks, or you're going to be out of the game. You have nothing to lose on that side. And on the other side, you have to be thinking about what your options are.
Is that similar to when you called out Jane on your season?
Well, if you're on the Zapatero tribe, yes, because you got nothing to lose, right? And I had nothing to lose with Jane, and half of it was I wanted to take the heat off me, and the other half was just sheer vindictive and wanted to make sure that Jane did not make it to the finals and sort of poison the well, if you will. So kind of different, I think. But if you want to win this game, I don't think Jane at the end of the day would have actually been a threat at the final three. I don't think people would have given her the vote, so it's kind of ironic. With Boston Rob, I think if he makes it to the final three, absolutely. Great potential to win. Why would you want to be there with him?
I agree with that. You don't think that he's going to take it.
I actually think that Rob does not have a great chance to win in the final three. I think they're going to give the money to whoever they hold the least responsible for being voted out of the game, but we're going to have to wait and see.
But I think that Boston Rob is going to take people to the end that have done nothing but ride coattails. And you know, and I know, that argument rarely wins you much.
I mean, Natalie White.
It's like, I don't know. Anything can happen in this game, but it would be really hard.
All right, well, Marty, we'll see. One of us is going to be right, unless Boston Rob gets voted out soon. Then neither of us will be right. Either way, Reality Rally, good luck this weekend.
Great to see you guys. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure, buddy.